In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze vroege zondagmorgen. En alle kijkers van harte welkom. Het is dus mooi om zondagmorgen te wakker te worden met een programma waar het gaat over liefde. Liefde met een hoofdletter. En daarover praat ik met twee jonge, enthousiaste verpleegsters hier zo meteen op de bank. En zij zetten zich in voor de allerarmsten van de wereld. Mensen die geen toegang hebben tot medische zorg of laat staan een ziekenhuis. En ze werken aan boord van Mercy Ships en daar gaan ze over vertellen. En Bobby Schuller spreekt over het feit dat het niet uitmaakt wat je doet of wat anderen van je zeggen, maar dat je een geliefd kind van God bent. Maar heel vaak maken we ons druk over wat anderen van ons zeggen en daarover gaat Bobby spreken. En dan het koor, dat gaat zingen over het feit dat we een boodschap voor de naties van de wereld hebben. En veel muziek dus in Hour of Power. Van harte welkom op deze mooie zondagmorgen bij uw Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Good morning. We are so honored to have you here today. It's such a joy. Thank you for being here or being tuned in with us. Would you turn around and shake the hands of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Father, we thank you that you have called us here. All of us are here because you want us here. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to open our heart, open our minds, our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, we know that you love us. You want the best for us. You haven't given up on us. You believe in us and you want to see us be world changers. So, Lord, we come with faith, asking you for your help, asking for your breakthrough in our challenges, asking for the forgiveness of sin. Help us, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message, hear the words of our Lord from Luke 6. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. May we be people who put faith in what God says about us above what people say about us.
My guest today is A. McByram. He's a successful solo recording artist, as well as a two-time Grammy nominee and an Emmy-nominated performer. A. McByram sang the role of Moses in the animated feature film Prince of Egypt, hundreds of other films, television programs, and commercials. And you're also a friend of my grandfather, is that right?
Yes, I am, proudly so.
So, I mean, you've done some pretty cool things in your career as an entertainer, but you're pretty open about your faith, and it's an important part of your life, even in the world of entertainment, music, acting, and all that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad's a pastor. And I knew all along that that God had given me some gifts, and I also knew that I was to use those gifts for His glory.
Yeah.
And whether those gifts are used for His glory in the church or in the general marketplace, I felt called that my ministry was supposed to be kind of in show business.
Yeah.
And so I ventured out here from Oklahoma years ago and just trusted the Lord, and the Lord has been very, very gracious to me and has allowed me to have somewhat of an impact in multiple spheres of the entertainment business. But I give God all the praise and all the glory, because even though He's given me some gifts, it is always God who offers the opportunities and actually just drops things in your lap. And in this business, it's hard, because you're dealing with, you know, gifts and talents and egos and...
Yeah.
It's a tough business, but trusting the Lord makes all the difference in the world.
And of course, in your industry, it can be a challenge when you're kind of open about your faith and when you won't make certain compromises.
I've experienced that. I've experienced situations where I've had to turn down work for just conscience reasons, conscience that is hopefully driven by God's purposes. And at the time, it's difficult, because work is hard to get, you know?
Yeah.
And but when I did, I always found that the Lord blessed that decision, even though it was a struggle to make that decision.
Yeah.
And but the way that you have an opportunity to really to minister to people is oftentimes by the excellence that you have, and that takes a lot of training and a lot of commitment and hard work, but it's excellence that actually opens the door for people to hear the gospel, particularly in that business, because that's what's highly regarded and highly respected. And if you have excellence at what you do, people will, it gives you a platform and it gives you an opportunity to share your faith.
And today I'm talking about really the importance of not giving too much weight to what people say about you, you know, like whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, especially in entertainment, isn't it? I mean, do you have any advice for that? Obviously, you have some inner strength to be able to navigate through criticism, through slander, or through misunderstandings about who you are as a person. I mean, everybody's going to struggle with that. But what kind of advice can you give us when, like, in daily life, you know, when you get a bad email or something like that? I mean, what have you learned in this industry that you can...
I think it's the best advice is go back to what your life is founded upon. If your life is founded upon your salvation in Jesus Christ, always go to that rock. Always go to that foundation, even though you have been mistreated, even though you have been denied because of your faith. Always go to that foundation, and that's probably the best advice. And that it doesn't necessarily, I mean, it certainly helps, and it allows God the opportunity to do something else that you did not anticipate because of your struggle.
So you're going to be singing for us this
morning? Yeah, I am.
And we're so glad to, we can actually see how fantastic a singer he is.
Oh, and, go on.
And and so, Amick, we're so glad. Let's give him a hand and welcome him again. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Amick.
Thanks, Robert.
God bless you.
You know, I mentioned that my dad was a pastor, and when I was a small boy, I heard this story from the Bible, and it was about when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Well, that was kind of confusing to me. As a man, I understand that story certainly much better. And but if you recall the story, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham and Isaac walked to the base of Mount Moriah. He tells his servants, you guys hang out down here. I'm going to go up to the mountain. So all the way up this mountain, Abraham is walking with his son Isaac with wood on his back. Now, being the father of two boys, I can hardly even imagine that scene. If it was me, it would have been a very, very quiet walk. And so they get to the top of the mountain, and Isaac turns to him and he says, well, Dad, where's the lamb? Wow. So Abraham turns to his son. He says, Isaac, just wait right here for a moment. I need a moment by myself. So Abraham walks away, and he has an 11th hour plea with God to please make a way.
All my life, you've been there with a word for my prayer, so sincere, so assured, you've been true. Now I need greater faith to believe, to be sure, need to know, need to see what to do. Once so sure of my heart, now I'm lost in the dark, wondering why and wondering how. Trust you and obey. If this has been ordained by your own hand, I know that you will make a way. Here I stand on my own, still afraid, but not alone. Make a way.
En dat was A. McBrien. Wat een geweldig verhaal. Die mooie stem die je hoort in The Prince of Egypt en heel veel andere films. En dat hij zijn christen zijn met entertainment weet te verbinden. En hij zong zojuist Make a Way. Waar er geen weg is, wil God een weg in je leven banen. En dat zoeken we allemaal, want soms kan die weg heel moeilijk zijn. En zeker voor mensen die tot de armste van de armen behoren. En de twee jonge dames die ik vanmorgen op de bank heb, twee vrolijke lachenbekken, want dat zijn jullie, zijn Tineke Verdoold en Anneke de Groot. En voordat ik verder ga praten wat ze doen en wat hen motiveert, wil ik je graag iets laten zien. Namelijk een filmpje van Sambani. En ik wil je ook waarschuwen als kijker, want wat je gaat zien is eigenlijk gruwelijk. Maar er gebeurt ook iets heel moois waar je echt blij van wordt op deze vroege zondagmorgen. Kijk eerst naar het verhaal van Sambani die zijn weg vond naar Mercy Ships, want daar gaan we het over hebben.
He was out there. This tumor was growing. It was so hard for him and I had no knowledge of him. And suddenly our paths of our lives cross and you become aware of this person who's been there all that time. And it frustrates me that what could have been a very basic surgery became a very difficult surgery because he couldn't access the care that he needed. There's a significant chance that you will not survive this operation.
We took the tube out and he woke up and was giving us thumbs up, telling us he was okay. And then when he was awake enough, we showed him his face in the mirror. And I remember him taking his hand and reaching up to where the tumor used to be. It's like his hand stopped right here, like he didn't know how to put it past where the tumor was. And then eventually he realized he could keep going in.
Every human being has the right to be treated as human, to have a place at the table of the human race. And when you have been deprived that seat and it's offered to you again, you know, send money, have a seat. For him to be able to re-enter the human race, that's a fantastic thing. All these people doing their part makes it possible to do these kind of things together, and that interdependency is very easy to see in days like somebody's surgery.
Het is ongelooflijk aangrijpend als je dat ziet, hè, dat een leven gered is en dat jullie daar mee mogen werken.
Ja, dat klopt. Ja, dat is zeker heel indrukwekkend. Dit soort verhalen, ja, die komen eigenlijk dagelijks langs. Ja.
Vertel eens, wat doet Mercy Ships? Wat is het?
Mercy Ships is een organisatie, een varend schip, wat internationaal bekend is. Want mensen uit heel de wereld kunnen daar werken. En wil dus eigenlijk mensen in arme landen, in Afrika voornamelijk, helpen om, om van bepaalde ziektes te genezen. En dan zijn dat vooral mensen die dus geen geld hebben en geen middelen om zelf zich te laten behandelen. Of er zijn geen artsen of ziekenhuizen in de buurt die dat dus kunnen.
Jullie zijn beide verpleegster. Jij bent al twee keer aan boord geweest. Ja. Jij bent vorig jaar, samen zijn jullie toen aan boord gegaan. Wat bezielt je om dat te doen? Om je baan op te geven? Als je aan boord gaat, dan moet je zelf je verblijf betalen. En dat is niet goedkoop. Het is niet zo dat ze zeggen, oh, fijn dat je komt. En we betalen alles. Je moet ook je vliegreis betalen. Als je jong iemand bent, dan is dat best een offer. Of zie je het niet zo?
Het is een offer, maar een offer geef je zeker ook wat terug. En dat besef je ook als je daar bent. Ook als je later terug bent. Dat je denkt van ja, hoeveel, als je dan gaat denken, hoeveel euro's ben ik misgelopen? Dan denk je ja, maar eigenlijk maakt dat allemaal niet uit. Want je weet gewoon hoeveel je daar betekend hebt. En dan, ja, je vergeet het gewoon. Dat is eigenlijk niet op te noemen hoeveel je ervoor terugkrijgt.
En eigenlijk zeg je het ook niet helemaal goed. Want het is dus eigenlijk geen offer. Het is iets, voor mij is het echt iets wat ik heel graag wilde doen. En niet omdat ik dacht, ik wil dus iets goed doen. Maar gewoon omdat ik zo graag mensen in nood wil helpen. En in Nederland hebben we het zo fantastisch geregeld. Mensen in Afrika die hebben niet eens de mogelijkheid om soms echt geholpen te worden. En ja, dat het dan wat kost. Ach, dat neem ik dan echt maar voor lief. Want dat staat niet op tegen de waarde wat het dan wat het opbrengt.
Ja. Ja. Jullie zitten met zo'n 500 tot 700 vrijwilligers aan boord. Dat zijn van kapitein tot hoofdchirurgie, van mensen die de logistiek doen. Daar komen al die Afrikanen binnen die eigenlijk helemaal niet weten wat een ziekenhuis is, die nog nooit een blanke verpleegster hebben gezien. Hoe ervaar je dat?
Wat ik vooral heel bijzonder vind, is dat de mensen die in Afrikaanse landen leven vaak helemaal niet gewend zijn dat ze goede medische hulp kunnen krijgen. Dus als daar een schip komt waar al die moderne apparatuur is, is dat natuurlijk al iets heel overweldigends. Alles is natuurlijk komt heel erg op mensen af en dan worden ze geholpen. Er zijn mensen die ze overal mee naartoe brengen. Ze krijgen eten, drinken, onderdak op het schip. En dan worden ze ook nog eens geholpen zonder dat ze daar iets voor hoeven terug te doen. En ik kan me voorstellen dat in landen als Afrika, of waar heel veel armoede is, dat toch wel heel apart is dat dat zomaar kan of zo. Dat mensen dat ook niet altijd verwachten.
Gratis medische hulp.
Ja, en dat zie je ook. Dus dat mensen heel erg dankbaar zijn voor alles wat ze daar mogen krijgen. En ja. Uiteindelijk zie je dus ook mensen dat ze God te dank geven in landen waar ze dan ook in God geloven. Maar dat vind ik dan zo heel bijzonder om te zien. Ja.
Je bent 2 keer aan boord geweest voor langere tijd. Wat is jouw mooiste herinnering?
Vooral de herinneringen hoe dankbaar de mensen zijn. En ja, ik kan ook heel veel personen opnoemen die gewoon nog in mijn herinneringen blijven. Dat ik denk van. Ja, dat is een jongetje die eigenlijk bijna een half jaar aan boord gezeten heeft. Hij moest 4 weken wachten op zijn operatie. Hij was gevonden onder een brug met kromme beentjes. En, hij kon niet lopen, nee. En zijn oma was bij hem en hij kwam echt heel verlegen aan boord. Zat de eerste dagen eigenlijk alleen maar op zijn bed. En naarmate die wat langer was, begon hij ons wat meer te vertrouwen. En aan het eind uiteindelijk zijn operatie. En nog gips, ook veel pijn gehad. Maar toen hij eenmaal wat rond kon lopen en wat kon bewegen, toen kwam hij los.
Wat moet dat
een vreugde voor
jullie zijn? Als je zo'n jongen, de gips gaat eraf en ik kan weer lopen. Dat heeft nooit gekund.
Nee, dat is echt. Ja, dat was heel bijzonder om te zien. Ja, dat is echt wel. En ook hoe trots hij was dat hij kon staan. En je ziet zo'n jongen echt wel veranderen aan boord.
Anneke, wat een leuke foto. Een meisje die door de roze bril kijkt.
Toen was er net een container uit Nederland gekomen. Met ook materiaal wat verzameld was door een kerk of een school. Dit was eigenlijk knutselmateriaal. Het is een orthopedie-meisje die aan de benen geopereerd was. Ook heel erg verwaarloosd. En ook zij had heel weinig vertrouwen in ons, zeker in het begin. Ja, we deden haar pijn. Maar ik hoop dat ze later mag beseffen hoeveel we eigenlijk voor haar hebben kunnen doen.
Iedereen aan boord, wie je ook bent, wat je ook doet, wat voor geloof je ook aan hebt, wordt geholpen.
Iedereen is welkom, ja.
Want wat motiveert jou persoonlijk?
Wat mij heel erg motiveert is dat ik het vooral ontzettend belangrijk vind om mensen te helpen die het zoveel minder hebben als wij. En als ik dan bedenk dat de mensen die we geholpen worden, dat ze eigenlijk weer een nieuwe start in hun leven kunnen maken, vind ik dat echt heel bijzonder dat we daar een klein deeltje van mogen bijdragen.
Wat is jouw mooiste herinnering aan een kind, aan een oudere?
We hadden dus een meisje van 11 maanden. En zij was geboren met een soort klompje op haar stuit. En dat bleek dus de helft van een tweeling te zijn. Dus die andere helft was nooit volgroeid. En zij groeide daarmee op, maar ze kon dus niet zitten. Ze kon heel ongemakkelijk bewegen. En het enige wat zij kon, dus was met 11 maanden, dat ze kon lopen of liggen. En toen is zij geopereerd. En uiteindelijk had ze wel iets complicaties, maar dat is gelukkig wel goed afgelopen. Maar de onbevangenheid van zo'n kind en dat ze gewoon met ons meeging, dat ik gewoon met haar mocht spelen. Je krijgt zoveel liefde van kinderen terug zonder dat ze per se iets zeggen tegen je, want dat kunnen ze nog niet.
En deze foto van jou met dat jochie?
Hij was dus geopereerd aan beide benen en hij kon ook dus in eerste instantie niet lopen. Want je moet je voorstellen, als je benen dus eigenlijk gebroken zijn om ze weer goed neer te zetten, dat het ontzettend pijnlijk is en dat ze met dat gips eromheen absoluut geen mogelijkheid hebben om te lopen. Dus het jongetje zat in bed en kon er niet uit en het was in mijn avonddienst. En hij zat er eigenlijk maar en hij keek altijd een beetje sip om zich heen en zijn moeder die kreeg hem nooit aan het praten en hij wilde geen spelletjes doen. En op een gegeven moment zie je dus dat ik daar een ballon beet heb. En toen gingen we dus een ballon overgooien. Nou, dat is zoiets kleins. En dat vond hij zo ontzettend leuk. En uiteindelijk is hij dus ja, die avond ook een beetje vrolijker geworden. En hebben eigenlijk een hele mooie avond gehad met het team en met de kinderen en ook met hem erbij. Ja.
Ja. Jezus zegt, ik was hongerig en heb je mij gevoed? Ik was naakt en heb je mij gekleed? Misschien had hij ook wel gezegd, ik had medische hulp nodig en was je er voor mij? En dat zijn jullie, hè?
Een onderdeel van.
Ja, ja. Absoluut. Ja, onderdeel van. Er zijn zoveel mensen die meehelpen. En je moet ook niet vergeten dat mensen die financieel iets bijdragen, of die kleding geven, of die spullen geven, of die eigenlijk alleen al bidden voor het schip, dat dat al zoveel bijdrage is. En dus wij zijn ook gewoon maar onderdeel. Ja.
Wat is je droom?
Mijn droom is echt dat ik hoop dat mijn leven tot eer van God zal zijn. Dat ik dus van betekenis kan zijn voor anderen. En dat ik, ja, dat ik op die manier dus anderen kan helpen. En waar het er ook zijn. Dat hoeft niet alleen in Nederland te zijn. Het hoeft ook niet alleen in het buitenland te zijn. Maar in kleine dingen en misschien ook in iets grotere dingen. Dat ik daarmee dus anderen kan helpen. En dat tot eer van God en niet tot eer van mezelf.
Daar kun je leven lang mee toe, hè?
Ja, zeker.
Prachtig.
Ja. En heb ook mijn leven lang, denk ik, mijn handen vol aan. Dus. Ja. Maar dat zie ik echt, ja, dat vind ik fantastisch om te doen.
Mooi
ja.
om te horen. En jij, Anneke?
Ja, mijn droom is ook zeker om dus te zijn voor anderen in deze wereld. Ja, met Jezus' kracht, dat Hij mij helpt om de dingen te doen die ik kan doen in zijn naam eigenlijk.
Jullie staan altijd te trappelen om dit jaar weer terug te gaan aan boord van Mercy Ships.
Ja.
Ja?
Ik kan niet wachten. Ik zou graag wel weer teruggaan. Ja, als ik de kans voor krijg, dan neem ik die zeker weer aan.
Dan ga je.
Ja.
En jij?
Ja, zeker. Ik ben echt heel erg van plan om weer te gaan. Ik hoop dat mijn teamleider toestemming geeft. En anders blijf ik net zo lang proberen tot ik wel kan gaan.
Ja. Ja. Ongelooflijk leuk dat jullie hier waren. En hartelijk dank dat jullie hebben met ons jullie dromen en idealen hebben willen delen. Deze geef ik aan jou, Tineke. Hier staat op Johannes 15 vers 11. En daar staat, als je met een blij gezicht mensen helpt, dan eer je God.
Dankjewel.
En voor jou heb ik 1 Korinthe 13. En daar staat achter, love is an action. Liefde is een beweging. Nou, mag ik jullie ook van harte geven?
Ja, zeker.
Dames, ik ben trots op jullie. Ik vind het geweldig wat jullie doen. En ik wens jullie weer een mooi verblijf aan boord. En dat jullie heel veel
Dankjewel.
Kinderen mogen helpen. En wij gaan een lied horen dat gaat over hoop.
It's the one that I've tried to write over and over again. I'm awake in the infinite cold, but you sing to me over and over and over again. So I lay my head back down and I live my hands and pray to be only yours. I pray to be only yours. I know now you're my only hope. Sing to me the song of the stars, of your galaxies dancing and laughing again. When it feels like my dreams are so far, sing to me of the plans that you have for me over again. And I lay symphony, singing in all that I am.
Good morning. How are you? So would you stand with me? We're going to say our confession this morning. Hold your hands out like this. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I just want to begin by talking to you. If you just got a bad email or a text that really got you down, maybe you didn't sleep last night, maybe somebody said something at work that wasn't appropriate, if you find yourself always caught in the trap of pleasing other people and caring deeply about what other people think about you, perhaps egotism is a struggle for you, that you're always focused on yourself. Or maybe you have lots of anxiety about going to a party or being in a group of people because what they might think of you. If that's you, today's sermon is for you. And by the way, you're just a human being. Welcome to the club. I mean, all of us have these kinds of experiences where we are worried and bothered daily by what people say about us. And so today we're talking about one simple fact, that although people talk, people say things, people write things, sometimes very publicly, God is saying things too. And you know what? God is saying some pretty great things about you. God is saying that you are his beloved. God still speaks today, and he speaks about you, and he says great things, like he loves you. When we train our hearts and minds to be free from the addiction of approval and free from reputation management, you want to get there? Then today is the day. Because of the three things we talk about, what I have, what I do, and what people say about me, I think the most powerful of the three is what people say about you. You know, losing something can get you up, can keep you up late at night. Messing up on something can keep you up late at night. But when you hear somebody was talking about you, that will really keep you up late at night. Can I get an amen? Amen. There is something about hearing that somebody misunderstood or published online or whatever. When we read the things, especially negative things that people say about us, it keeps us up at night. We think about something that somebody said to us at work or that text or email we got. We think over and over in our heads about how we should respond or what people think about it. It keeps us up. And so what people say about us is one of the sources of our greatest worry. People say stuff. People say good things. People say bad things. People tell the truth. People bend the truth and even lie. People misunderstand. People speak without first listening. So people talk. And very often we're like a cork in the sea, right? Just floating upon what people think about us. But you know what? God speaks too. And as human beings, we will always put our faith in somebody's words. And my question for you this morning, in whose words will you put your faith? There we go. In whose words will you put your faith? Yeah, I mean, and that's an important thing, right? Because how can you put your faith in God's word if you don't know God's word? And this is a major problem today, is that many of us, we spend a lot of time reading the word of the world. We spend a lot of time on Facebook. We spend a lot of time in newspapers. We spend a lot of time reading blogs. These are words and ideas printed, and they're important, and learning is good. But we spend most of our time reading that word. But what about the scriptures? As the years go by, I see fewer and fewer Christians reading the scriptures, studying and meditating on the scriptures, debating, discussing, or writing about the word of God. And I find even fewer Christians that understand what it means to hear God's voice, that make time to listen to God's voice. Most of us spend 99% of our time listening to the words of the world. That is what people say about us, what's printed in the media, and about, if we're really good, 1-5% of our time studying the scripture and listening to God's voice. So let me ask you again. Not whose voice are you supposed to put faith in whose voice are you actually putting your faith? Because what you do is a reflection of what you believe. Put your faith in the voice of God and in the Word of God that says you are loved and there's nothing that can separate you from this love in Christ Jesus. Words are powerful. This is a deeply Christian idea. Words are powerful. Words form everything. Everything. Everything exists because somebody first spoke it into being. This building exists because somebody said, let's put a building there. And then a group of people said, let's make the building look like this. And before there was a drawing and before a brick was laid, people spoke it into being. Am I right? Wars exist because of words. One country says something to another country, or one contract is made to another country, and war breaks out because somebody speaks war, right? Family exists because a man and a woman get together and make vows, or somebody decides to be together and say, let's form a family. Everything that we have is the result of people first speaking it into being. And we pretend as though words don't affect us. They do. Words build and words destroy. Words encourage and words rob people of dignity. I'm convinced that people that take their own lives very often do it as a result of words. Words kill. Words bring life. And so the words that we speak and the words that we hear are so, so important. And the Logos, in fact, the scriptures say the Logos, the Word of God, is what made the whole universe. God spoke it into being, and so it was. And so words can have power over you or have no power over you. And what is it, the thing that makes it powerful, is whether or not you give ear. If you listen to words, they will have power. But if you can find a way to be free from listening to many of the words that are spoken over you, then you will find freedom and power. Can I get an amen? So when Jesus, for example, goes into ministry, the first word that he hears before he does anything is, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus carries the voice of God in his heart. And then when he goes into the wilderness and he's tempted by the devil, how does he rebuke the devil? Do you remember? With the word of God, with the scriptures. Every time the devil says something to Jesus, he responds, it is written. So Jesus puts faith both in the spoken word of God, that is the word he heard, and the written word of God, that is the Bible. And so built into Jesus' life is both an understanding of scripture and an understanding of God's voice. And without that, that is the source of Christ's power. So here's the problem. Many of us live our lives and we say, I'm not going to listen to the bad stuff. But we say also, I'm really going to listen to the good stuff. And here's a problem, is that it goes both ways. That is, you can't put faith in the bad things that people say about you, but there's this weird thing too that you can't put faith always in the good things people say about you. You have to put your faith in what God says. The reason it's dangerous to put your faith in the good things that people say always is then you build your life around wanting to maintain those things. Have you ever felt that way? You had somebody in your life, and they just thought the best thing about you, but all of a sudden you felt like you couldn't be yourself around them. Like you're wearing a mask. Like there's this hidden part of your life. Like, I hope they never find out about these skeletons in my closet. Look, when people say bad things about you, it's always going to hurt. When people say good things about you, it's always going to feel good. But there is a way to sort of bring the volume down. There's a way to diminish the power of those words in your life. And that is to put faith in the Word of God and to trust in the things that He says. We should live our lives living for one opinion. We should live our lives for the opinion of God. And if we do that, man, so many things will go right in your life. If you can find a way. You see, here's the thing. You can't just stop listening to what people say, can you? You have to listen to something. That's how people are. And the more we listen to God's Word, the more we listen to the voice of the beloved, the less we become trapped by the opinions of others. That's why we should train into the scriptures and train into hearing what God says about us. That you're loved. That you're wanted. That you're called to a purpose. That there's nothing anyone can do, including you, that can separate you from God's love. That God is faithful when we are faithless. That God loves you, not because you did anything. He just loves you, just because. For the same reason fathers and mothers love their children. Soren Kierkegaard, he said, God has made man in his own image, and we have returned the favor. The idea behind what Kierkegaard is saying here is that God made us in his image, but we often think that God is like us. We think God's love is as fickle. We think God's love is as imperfect and broken. We think God's love is founded on the same principles that we found our love, and it's not. God's love is perfect and eternal. You can have faith that you are loved and you are God's beloved child. There are three reasons, practical reasons, why we ought to be the kind of people who listen to the voice of the beloved and don't put our faith in the words of the world. You ready for them? They're really good. The first one is this. The first reason we got to listen to the voice of the beloved and stop listening to the voice of others is number one, so that you don't quit doing good. Look, if you are a do-gooder, if you are a holy, rolling do-gooder that wants to see good done in the world, people are going to hate you. It's just how it is. Can you think of one world changer, one person that's doing something good in the world today that isn't hated by a large group of people? The more public your do-goodiness is, the more people are going to hate you. That's just how it is. And so if you're called to do something great with your life, even if it's at your workplace or in your family, as you do good, people are going to say things about you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to slander you. And it's just a part of doing what's right. For some people, it's light being shined in the darkness. For other people, it's jealousy. For other people, it's insecurity. In the end, let it go. Because as you do good, if you tune your heart to the voice of God that says, I'm proud of you, keep going, do what is right, stand for your principles, then you'll just won't worry about as much about what people will say, and it will give you the energy and the power to carry on in what God is calling you to do in the world. Whether it's encouraging somebody that's unpopular in your workplace or caring for the homeless or sharing your faith with another, when you do good, people are going to take notice. And the more good you do, the more people will criticize you. And by the way, if you are a leader, your ability to make a difference, your ability to lead, is equal to your threshold for pain. If you can't handle criticism, if you can't handle lies, if you're up all night thinking about what somebody you don't care about said about you, you're not going to make it very far as a leader. You need to find your strength in God's power, God's love, and God's calling. Amen? And number two reason we need to put our focus on the love of God and on the voice of God and not on the voices and words of others is so that you don't take offense when people do challenge you and give you wisdom. See, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? Very often, we get so angry when people criticize us is that when people love us and actually have wisdom for us and have ways that we can be better or do better, we can't give ear to it at all because, well, we're so offended by it. And we're so hurt by it. And so people feel like they have to walk on eggshells around us. Well, you're not going to grow much as a believer if everyone has to walk on eggshells around you. The scriptures say that a wise man loves criticism. Look at what Proverbs says. It says, Proverbs 9 says, do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. That's good, isn't it? Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. Look, wise men and wise women love rebuke. Wise men and wise women love criticism, because even if there's animosity in the criticism, they know they can find some kind of a truth in there. Huh? If you find your personal identity in God's love and opinion of you, you're able to sift through all of the minutiae of people's criticism and actually learn a lot. And that's a real treasure. Ecclesiastes says it's better to be criticized by a wise man than to be praised by a fool. Can I get an amen? Amen. There is something good about that. And if you want to be the kind of person that a wise man can give you advice. A mentor can come to you and hold your hand and correct you and lead you and help you. You've got to find your identity in God's love and know that when people are helping you or giving you advice or rebuking you, hey, they're not rejecting you. They're helping you sometimes because they love you. And you'll be able to receive it the way God wants you to receive it. There is this great story, Bishop Nikolai, who was a bishop in the Orthodox Church that was arrested and put into concentration camps. And he writes this beautiful prayer called, Bless My Enemies, Lord. And it's this prayer where he says, Lord, bless my enemies and do not curse them. He said, because it's my enemies who keep me from trying to attain all of the worldly things. He said, my enemies, I notice in the end, my enemies always push me towards you, God, towards your love, towards your compassion. And so he says, bless my enemies. The number three reason that we need to be rooted in God's love. Number one is so we don't quit in doing good. Number two, so that we can hear the wisdom of others without being offended. Number three is so that you can change number three is you can change the world if you don't care who gets the credit. Isn't that another part of when we talk about being addicted to the good things people say about us? We put all this work into something, right? I worked so hard on making this thing or doing this thing and nobody noticed. And then we enter into a pity party. Yeah, Harry Truman said, it's amazing the things you can accomplish in this world if you do not care who gets the credit. So much building our reputation around what people say and what people think about us is our desire for acclaim, for trophies, to go to bed at night and go, yeah, people see what I'm doing and it's cool and it's great and they love me. So much of what we're talking about in this series is just learning to let go of all of that stuff, to do what is good because you love what is good, and to reject what is evil because you hate what is evil. To become the kind of person that all you want in this world is what is right. And if we are addicted to what people say about us, whether it's good or bad, we cannot walk in that kind of power. Be the kind of person that learns to abide in the Word of God and the voice of God that says, you're loved. Your life matters. Let go of the opinions of others and hold on to the opinions of God, who says, neither height nor depth, nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to hear your voice. Many people listening say, I can't hear God's voice. You can, friends. Listen with spiritual ears. Father, we want to hear your voice. Can you talk louder to us so that we know your voice, the good voice that says, you are my beloved. Lord, it's so hard not to walk in the opinions of others. Help us to be free from that. Help us to walk in your love in everything we do. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In your coming in and your going out, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor, in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus on that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Een mooie toespraak van Bobby. En ik kom het zo in vinden. Vaak trek je zoveel aan wat anderen van je zeggen. En Bobby zegt, het gaat erom wat God over jou zegt en over jou denkt. Dat is het allerbelangrijkste. Vrienden, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending. Volgende week hebben we een gesprek met Anne Anders. Op 14-jarige leeftijd raakte ze zwanger van een vakantieliefde. En ze stond voor de keuze om haar kindje op te voeden of het los te laten. Ze is een hele jonge tienermoeder, heeft al een boek geschreven en daar hoopt ze volgende week over te vertellen. En dan maak ik iedereen attent op de hooplijn. Ik zei het net al, het gaat zo vaak aan je hart als anderen iets over je zeggen van je denkt, wat dat, is dat intens gemeen en of wat maakt me dat eenzaam? 40% van de mensen in Nederland, blijkt uit een recent onderzoek, zijn eenzaam. En ik vind het mooi dat we bij Hour of Power een aantal mensen hebben die aan de telefoon zitten, vrijwilligers, en die graag met u willen praten, uw verhaal kwijt kunt, die met u willen bidden. Het is volkomen anoniem en we doen dat graag omdat we, wat ik al zei aan het begin van deze uitzending, geloven in liefde met een hoofdletter. Bel de hooplijn, wij zijn er voor u. Hartelijk dank voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Hour of Power en ik hoop tot volgende week.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur. Wij wensen u een gezegende week en graag tot volgende week zondag.